We're taking a short break from our study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Last Sunday, we looked at Acts chapter 2 and the birth of the church, the promised coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the result of that, or the reason for all this, is that Jesus in Matthew 28 gives his 12 disciples before he departs from earth. Actually, there was 11 at that time, since Judas was already no longer among the group. Jesus gives them the Great Commission. Go and teach, baptizing those that believe. That's the Great Commission. The result of the church, if you really realize your function as a church, is to fulfill the Great Commission. And as people come into the church, as we evidenced yesterday in our baptismal service, we have a growth process that occurs. And kind of along that vein, I just wanted to leave a few more ideas, maybe to extend what we celebrated yesterday with this greeting that Paul has for his spiritual son, Timothy. Let's read these verses in English. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast, or hold on to, the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Therefore, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Timothy is the Apostle Paul's, spiritual son. So let me ask you a question today. Do you have spiritual children? Have you been involved in the birth of somebody else, spiritually speaking? Not that we can do it in our own strength. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But are you faithful to the Great Commission that Jesus said, go and sit in church? Oh, that's not what the text says, right? Jesus said, go and teach. Пойдите. Научите, не пойдите и сидите. Go and teach, go and tell. Jesus told a man, he says, go and tell what I have done for you in healing you and forgiving your sins. Jesus does things for us physically. His mercies are renewed every morning. The prophet says if it wasn't for the mercies of God that are brand new every morning, just like the sunshine and the dew out in the field, he says we would have perished long time ago. The Great Commission results, if we're faithful to it, in spiritual children. We're, of course, overjoyed at the people that have come to know the Lord in our church. But that is not something to just sit back on and stop now. Continue, Paul says, to do these things. And so my prayer for us is as we look at a couple of examples and encouragements that Paul gives us from everyday life, practical life here in this epistle today, just very briefly, that it would be an encouragement to us. The first thing, notice that Paul says in verse 13, chapter 1, he says, hold fast or hold on to. Get your hands on it and hold on for dear life. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody coming down a roller coaster, but they're hanging on with their white knuckles. Okay? Hold on. This is not a suggestion. The Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. Scripture, Jesus repeatedly, the Bible repeatedly says, this is what God's will for you is. Do it. Obey it. Submit yourself to it. So when Scripture tells us to hold on, that's a command. That's something we're supposed to do. And when you hold on, you're supposed to hold on as if your very, very life and breath depend on it. Don't let go. Now, at the same time, the Bible teaches us that God gives us the power to hold on. So use the power that God gave you and hold on with the power that God gave you. Put on the whole armor of God, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, so that you may be able to stand. And when the temptations come and when the trials come and when you go through the fire, when the smoke clears, you're standing. There's something about a soldier in battle that's standing. And that's one of the examples that Paul uses here. But before we get to the soldier in chapter 2, notice that Paul says, hold on to the pattern. Paul doesn't just say, go and live your life as a Christian. You new Christians, go live it. No, Paul has showed Timothy how to live. Образец здравого учения. Not just any kind of teaching, but good teaching. The word good, remember we looked at it, it refers to perfect, to complete, to the things of God. Good is not something that we as humans have. There's nothing good in our life. Good refers to God and His Word. And the good thing, the sound words, the sound doctrine that Paul taught Timothy, he says, it's good, and you heard it from me. Paul says, you heard it from me, and I heard it from Jesus. It's coming straight to you. You have it today. Those of you that brought your Bibles to church, hold it in your hands. Physically, mentally, think about it. Hold on to your Bible. That's what Paul is saying here. If you go out into the fire, you go out into the battle, hold on to the Word. If your house was on fire last night and you woke up before you went out of the house, what would you have taken with you? My prayer is that you knew exactly where your Bible is. You wouldn't have to start looking for it. You'd go where it always is, you'd grab it, and you'd run. You would run with the Word. Hold on. It's a good pattern, Paul says, and I have given it to you. Hold on to it with faith and with love in Jesus Christ. Notice that we are in Jesus Christ. We talked about that in the Bible hour this morning. And verse 14, Paul repeats himself. He says, the good thing that you have been given, hold on to it with the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit lives in your life because your life, your body is the temple of God. And when you think about going to church, when you think about going to the temple, what is that talking about? That's talking about worship. Worship means to give glory and to give honor to the one who is worthy of it. That's what the word worship came from. It's an old, old English word that meant worth-ship. Worship the worthy one, the Lamb of God from Revelation that we read about. Remember Joshua. God tells Joshua in Joshua 1:9. Joshua, Moses has died. Joshua's been vice president for 40 years. He's been the assistant. He's been the general that's led Israel through victorious armies. This is a man that's a military man. He understands what Paul would be talking about here, about the hardships that come to a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And God tells Joshua. It's a reminder. It's an encouragement. He says, be strong. Be of good courage. Do you know what courage is? It's looking the enemy in the eye and say, I'm not afraid of you because I've got more power than you do. Greater is he that is in you, John says, than he that is in the world. God goes on to Joshua and says, do not be afraid. No fear with God. David says, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no fear. Why? Because that valley leads straight to God's light in God's presence. God keeps going on to Joshua and he says, the Lord your God is going wherever you go, wherever you are. And so Paul gives us this example. He says, hold on. Now he gives us three examples of how we are to live our Christian life. The first one is the example of a soldier. The soldier, the Bible teaches us, has to have endurance. Endurance means to have stamina. It's having, if you run the Olympics, you see the people run the Olympics. You see some of them, like me, would fall down exhausted after a block or two. Other people, they come all the way to the end. And they come running. They come sprinting. They have this second breath that just lets them run through the finish line. That didn't just happen. They spend a lot of time, they spend a lot of effort, they go through a lot of pain, physical pain, training to be able to do this. Paul says to Timothy, he says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. The things that you heard from me, pass on to others, and endure." Don't just grit your teeth and do it. Endure it like a good soldier. You're going to pass the test because you've gone through the training. How does a soldier get endurance? Well, the government knows that most of us in civilian life are no good. So the government sends all new recruits to boot camp. And in boot camp, you have to do what your officer tells you to do. You have to get up when he tells you to get up. You have to sit down when he tells you to sit down. When he comes in, you have to stand up and salute him. He tells you when to eat. He tells you when to sleep. If he tells you to give him 20 push-ups, you give him 20 push-ups. He teaches you, first of all, discipline. He teaches you endurance. He teaches you how a soldier is supposed to act in submission and in obedience to the commanding officer. Some of you guys have been in the Army. You know about it. The rest of us have just heard about it. Okay? But the principles in the spiritual life is the same. You know, the training that the soldier goes through in boot camp, it teaches them to expect a tough life. You know you might end up on a battlefield. You know that you may have bad weather conditions, bad food, no sleep. You might be exhausted. You might have to fight the enemy. And you may even have to give your life. And that is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, Timothy, expect this. If you're ready, don't just endure, but expect this. You know, a lot of Christians, unfortunately, we think that being a soldier is just sitting someplace on a base and doing nothing all the time. Paul goes on and he says, you know what? He says, no one, in verse 4, engaged in warfare, entangles himself with his home life. You don't just sit on a camp. It's not an 8-to-5 job. It's a 24-7 job. You are constantly on call, day and night, every minute. The lights will come on, the alarm will ring, and you got to go. That's the Christian life. Paul writes to Timothy, be strong, endure the hardship like a good Christian soldier. And that's my desire for all of us today, desire for all of you that were baptized yesterday. So, thirdly, the soldier, he does things not for himself. He has a greater cause. He has a bigger cause. He's doing it because he loves his country. And most importantly, he does it to please the officer that enlisted him in the service. As Christians, we are called into the army of God. God has called us. And because of what God has done for us, because of God has saved us, because he has given his son, Jesus Christ, for us, because of that, we become a good soldier to please Jesus Christ. Everything we do is supposed to be done to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. It's not done for us. Soldier doesn't get up there and say, look at me. No, we do it for a greater cause. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Very briefly, our time is going fast, but there's an example here of the athlete. The athlete trains the same way the soldier does, but Paul adds another detail here that applies to both the soldier and the athlete and to us as Christians. He says that athletes, when they go to the Olympics, they have to go by the rules. You can't break the rules. If you break the rules, you're out. You know, what's amazing in the Christian life is there's no out. God has called us, and what God has called us to in Philippians, he says, he will complete. So you get ready for it, and you endure it as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. That what God calls you to do. But it takes a certain amount of training, and the word to compete, it means to struggle. To wrestle, you understand wrestling, when two people wrestle. I think Brother George wrestled in his younger days. He understands what I'm talking about. The goal of the athlete is to get to the end of the line and to get a crown, to get a medal, to hang around your neck. Any kind of medal. A gold one is the best. A silver is second. Bronze is third. But all of us as soldiers, we will complete the race, Paul says, that is laid out for us by Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I press. Did you see the athlete coming up on the finish line? He takes his last breath and he reaches out trying to grab that ribbon, that rope, to pass that line. And even if he falls down, out of breath, collapsed, he does it on the other side of the finish line. And that's what God is calling us. But you have to go by the rules. Paul says, if you break the rules, you lose the reward. You don't stop being a Christian. You don't lose your salvation. You lose your reward. You get no ribbon, no medal, no crown on your head. Everybody gets the crown of life. But some of us and some of you will receive a special reward for the Lord for being faithful in what you've done. And lastly, the soldier, the athlete, the farmer in verse 6. He's got to work hard when nobody's watching. As a Christian, sometimes you have to do what God calls you to do when nobody's watching. It's hard work. It's lonely work. You've got to plow the field. You've got to plant the seed. You have to pull the weeds. You have to fertilize. You have to water. And when it's all done, you have to go out and you have to bring in the harvest. All different parts of being a farmer. But there's a reward, God tells us. The farmer is the first one to taste the fruits of his labor. Paul writes to Corinthians, he says, be steadfast, my brothers, knowing that your work in the Lord will bring a reward. So are you a good soldier for Jesus Christ? Are you an athlete that goes by the rules? Are you a hard-working believer for the glory of God and the church? Are you following the pattern that you have been taught here by your faithful pastors and teachers that teach you week by week? Are you obeying submissively what God is commanding you to do? That is my prayer, as Paul tells to Timothy, same thing. Hold fast. Amen.